Every day is a bumper crop of hope in Hollywood, California. Naive, of course, everybody knows. But still they come from all over to play their slim chances. Maybe lightning will strike. Someone will be chosen as the next Jennifer Lopez or Renee Zellweger or Scarlett Johansson. Or maybe it could be Christy Johnson. She came to Hollywood from Michigan in 2001, came to invent herself.
She thought, you know, I would really like to be involved in this industry, but on the production side of it, you know, on the other side of the camera.
But she was so pretty. And she had that something even back in high school. Why didn't she try out in front of the camera, people would ask. Couldn't Christy be an it girl too? God knows it's happened before. They say it's a myth, the story of Lana Turner's discovery as a nobody at a drugstore lunch counter, but the myth is part of that young, hopeful DNA now. Just as the other one is, the story of the girl whose ambition bought fame after her blood-drained body had been dumped in a vacant lot, the one we know as the Black Dahlia. Of all the legends born in Hollywood, those two endure, two parts of a whole. To entice young hopefuls drawn to the scent of fame, and sometimes to kill them. But Christy Johnson had other things to think about. She was 21. She was in California. Her mother is Terry Hall.
Christy loved the beach. You know, she told me, you know, how beautiful it was and how much, you know, she was enjoying being in California.
Back in Michigan growing up, she was athletic and had a passion for the water. And then she started turning heads.
She could, you know, tie her hair back in a ponytail and wear no makeup and look absolutely smashing. Or she could, you know, put on her high heels and a great outfit and look totally a different way too as well.
Terry and Christy were very close, spoke on the phone every day.
You know, we enjoyed being with each other and doing things together.
It was the day after Valentine's Day, 2003, a Saturday. Christy called her mom, said she was going to the mall.
I said, okay, great, you know, don't buy, you know, anything. Pick something out and it'll be your Valentine's present.
By Sunday, Christy should have called again. She did not.
I thought, no, that's strange.
Kind of a low-grade anxiety.
Right, like, gee, I wonder what's happening here, you know, that I can't get a hold of her.
Then 2 days went by. No answer. No call.
When I couldn't get a hold of her on her cell phone again, I called her on her direct line at work. And when I got her answering message on her work phone is when I became very alarmed.
Terry filed a missing persons report with the Santa Monica police.
Do you remember getting the case?
I do.
Virginia Obenchain, then a veteran police detective, didn't rattle easily. But she knew right away that Christy Johnson's case was going to be bad.
The original patrol officer that was sent to take the missing persons report didn't feel too good about the circumstances. So he came upstairs to the detective bureau, and I was the only one upstairs, so he told me. And I remember when he explained the circumstances, the hair on the back of my neck started to rise.
The circumstances?
We talked to the roommate, and the roommate told us that she had gone to Century City Mall, went shopping there, and was very excited when she came home because she was going to audition for a James Bond clip.
Detective Obenchain didn't need to be told that con men prey on young women in this town. Or that smart women, savvy women, can be seduced by the Lana Turner fantasy.
There are some girls that will go with perfect strangers in the hopes that they can make it big. They don't know Hollywood. They just come in and they figure, oh, back in the old days where you used to meet at the drugstore counter and then you're all of a sudden
sure, the drugstore discovery.
Exactly. And some gals still believe that that can happen.
Does it?
Not that I know of.
It was February 2003. Somewhere in Hollywood, a young woman, Christy Johnson, was missing. The veteran detective trying to find her knew she needed help.
So you had a press conference?
We did.
Did that help you in any way?
It helped us tremendously. We got a call from a young lady on our tip line, And she told us that she too had been approached at the Century City Mall.
This is an article I read a couple weeks after what happened to me. And it mentions this beautiful young lady who disappeared after going to meet a photographer. And that's all it says.
Yeah. It doesn't really give any indication.
It doesn't give any indication of who it was at all.
But what was your reaction when you read this?
I call it women's intuition. I just knew. My heart dropped.
21 days before Christy went to the mall to look for a Valentine's gift, Susan Murphy was approached by a man there too. He said he was in the business. His name was Victor Thomas.
He looked normal. And he just said, I think you're very attractive. He said, I'm a director of photography, and we're casting for the new James Bond movie. And he said, we've been casting all day, and you're the look we want. You're perfect.
Just a line, of course. But what if it wasn't? What if the guy was for real?
I had enough experience to kind of know that this was a come-on, a pickup. And I knew that.
And yet?
I was very intrigued. If it's true, hey, cool. That'd be great. How fun would that be to be a Bond girl? I think every girl has a dream about that.
He told me he really liked my legs.
And 5 years before Susan, there was Kathy DeBono.
And that he was working closely with the James Bond movies, and that they were looking for new people, people who weren't so recognizable.
At the time, Kathy was pretty much a regular in bit parts on Deep Space Nine, but this offer was something else.
He talked about big bucks. He named numbers of money that I can't recall today, but it was a lot of money.
He said he was a Disney executive named Brian.
Was it like he was coming on to you?
No. No, he wasn't lascivious at all. He didn't try to touch me. He didn't try to flirt with me or come on to me. He seemed like he could be legitimately in the business and talking to me about a real opportunity.
The women talked to Detective Obenchain and gave her some clues about the man Christy might have met. And there was key information Susan had to offer. She said the man told her to wear a very specific outfit to the audition.
He said it's very, very important that I wear stilettos, black stilettos as high as possible, black miniskirt preferably, but any miniskirt would be great, pantyhose, not nylons, a white man's shirt, hair slicked back, really tight in a ponytail, and a man's tie, and he said he would provide the tie.
And that happens to be everything that Christy purchased on February 15th.
In the hours before she disappeared, Christy Johnson bought a black miniskirt, sheer nylons, stiletto heels, the white shirt. Was she nervous? Was she excited? Susan in 2003 and Kathy in 1998 agreed to meet the pleasant stranger. But they were a little nervous and, just in case, each decided to bring a male friend along.
I was instructed by him to wait in my car in an area of the block where he told me to park. He said, bring your car here, park here. Someone will come out and get you.
What happened?
Nothing.
Mind you, the male friend in the car with her was perfectly visible. Brian from Disney never showed. Susan Murphy got out of her car, left her boyfriend there down the street watching. As she walked to a busy intersection, just as the man had instructed.
What percentage of it this was thinking it might be real and I want to be there if it is?
I would say 40% I thought it was real, 60% I knew it wasn't.
Then the man showed up. Pointing behind him, he said, let's go get a drink.
And I noticed that it was an abandoned building, it looked like to me. It didn't look like there was any sort of activity or bar or restaurant in there. So I thought, okay. I said, well, first of all, I'm not going anywhere with you. I said, I need some identification first. I said, that's first and foremost. And he said, oh, I don't have any identification. I said, you don't? I go, where is it? He goes, I left it on the set.
On the set?
The set.
And so Susan said, I'm not going anywhere. Then she signaled to her friend in the car, and the man got angry.
I was with somebody. It's like, no, you're not right for the part anyway. He's like, just forget it. And then he starts to walk away.
With Susan Murphy's help, the police made a sketch of that man who had promised a part in a Bond movie.
Once we aired the sketch, we had a parole officer call us and said, that happens to be one of my parolees.
He had a name. It wasn't Victor Thomas, as he told Susan Murphy. It wasn't, as he told Kathy DeBono, Brian from Disney. His name was Victor Palaiologos, a parolee with a record of violent and white-collar crimes, and no connection to the film industry at all.
So you have a suspect, or at least you know who the suspect is. How do you proceed now? As if she is still alive?
Absolutely, as if she's still alive.
February 27, 2003, was Christy Johnson's 22nd birthday. She had been missing 12 days. Her family held a vigil. The search continued.
What we did was we started contacting the roommate, the credit card company or the debit card company, the cell phone company. We tracked down where her last ping on the cell phone came from, and it came from the Laurel Canyon area.
That last ping, she'd called information from right around the hills above Laurel Canyon. It was just after 5 p.m. The sun would have been just below the horizon. Police found a man who lived in Laurel Canyon, who remembered a girl in a Mazda Miata lost looking for a house up the hill. Christy Johnson drove a Miata. But by now, remember, detectives had a name, a suspect, Victor Palaiologos, a man who fit the description provided by both Susan and Kathy. And that's when Detective Obenchain caught a break.
Mr. Palaiologos happened to be in custody because Beverly Hills arrested him on unrelated charges to our case.
Beverly Hills police had pursued a stolen BMW as it raced into the parking lot of another Los Angeles mall. At the wheel, Victor Palaiologos, who was arrested minutes later and charged with grand theft auto. So Detective Obenchain headed to the Men's Central Jail in downtown Los Angeles.
Did he talk?
No, he would not say anything about Christy. He told us things that he was writing a book, and he would mention other things. But every time the interrogators would point him to, where is Christy, he would answer, I can't help you.
Susan Murphy was brought in to ID Victor, first in pictures, what the cops call a six-pack.
I had to do a photo lineup, and then later came the actual lineup, which was a little bit like seeing a horror film. I knew who it was immediately. And he was, like, disguising himself, like acting all weird and, like, trying to cut. And I just instantly, like, what is he doing? And I was like, that's the guy, for sure.
Victor Palaiologos, 40 years old, divorced. He'd once owned an Italian restaurant. He looked normal. And if his pickup line was to pretend to be in showbiz, so what? Didn't make him a predator, did it? Palaiologos and his attorney at the time, Andy Flyer, sat down with us in the Men's Central Jail in Los Angeles.
I assume he's not the first male to try to meet a young lady and maybe get lucky, irrespective of what tale they tell. Right. And that's the problem we have.
And Victor Palaiologos? He talked about his life, his mistakes, and how he had nothing to do with the disappearance of Christy Johnson, and denied he caused trouble for any other woman, either.
Susan Murphy, for example, says she met you in a mall and you came on to her and suggested you were a movie producer. And then sure enough, the video in the mall shows you approaching Susan Murphy. Mm-hmm. Kind of corroborates her story, doesn't it?
Well, it corroborates the fact that we met. It didn't corroborate the fact that I told her to do anything. No. We met in the mall that night. I was going to a movie. She was going to the restaurant to have dinner. We sat down. We had some discussions. I told her about, you know, who I was, where I was. From, et cetera, et cetera.
And yet, women look at your picture and say, yeah, he's the guy. He said he was a producer. They're making a James Bond film.
That's a lie.
They all lied?
Yes.
And what about Christy and the man she met at the mall?
Where were you at the time?
I was nowhere near there. I was in the Century Plaza Hotel in the spa.
She met you in the mall.
She met me in the mall. She did not meet me in the mall. I was in the Century Plaza Hotel.
Interesting alibi. The hotel is just a few minutes' walk from the mall. Did Victor Palaiologos have anything to do with Christy Johnson's disappearance? Detective Obenchain, who didn't believe in coincidences, thought he did.
You knew he knew something, and he's not telling you. And you suspect something terrible has happened to this girl, obviously. That must be awfully frustrating.
It was extremely frustrating, especially since some time had elapsed. We weren't sure if she was alive. We were hoping that she was alive. We knew that it was critical that we find her as soon as possible.
And if she was dead, the longer the time was that went by, the less material there would be to give you clues.
Correct.
So volunteers scoured those empty parts of Los Angeles where missing people often wind up. Would they find her there? Her parents hung missing posters and clung to a thin thread of hope.
The chief of police and the captain of the Santa Monica Police Department did come to visit me, and they said that they really felt that Christy was probably not alive. And my first question was, has this person who you've arrested, has he ever been arrested for murder before? And they said no. So then, of course, as a parent, I'm very hopeful. I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is somebody who's abducted my daughter, but he hasn't murdered her.
They say it never rains in Southern California, but in the winter of 2003, it poured. Torrents came roaring down the gloomy hills around Hollywood, and mud, and the mood of the search for Christy Johnson. And then one day, when the sun finally peeked through the clouds, there in the mud on the side of the hill, some hikers who thought they'd be enjoying the view found what was left of a female body.
It was a rainy year, wasn't it?
It was very rainy. Very rainy.
And so when you were called up to where the body was, what was found?
Christine's body was found. Her hands tied behind her back, her legs tied. She was partially in a sleeping bag, and she was severely decomposed from the shoulders up.
Simply by being out of doors in a very rainy, wet season.
Correct.
Dumped.
Dumped.
More than 2 weeks in the rain. Enough to wash away most of the evidence they might otherwise have found.
People have expectations. I mean, I asked you about finding that body on the hill and, you know, fully, frankly, expected you to be able to say, you know, we knew exactly the minute she died, how she died, whether there'd been penetration or strangulation. You know, all of those questions that we've come to expect will be answered. Could you answer them?
No, we couldn't. This was not CSI. This is reality. And there isn't always DNA. There isn't always trace evidence. There isn't always a fingerprint left.
And there wasn't a lot of stuff in this case.
There was nothing.
And that's how it ended, the search for Christy Johnson, the girl who trusted, it turned out, too much.
I think Christy appreciated life very much. She was very aware that what there was in this world, you know, that was beautiful about this world.
But the world could be ugly, too. And that's where the search turned. Up on that hill in Hollywood, the physical evidence that might have revealed who killed Christy was gone.
But there was evidence in defects of personality, in behaviors, in the history of the prime suspect. Detectives discovered there was a history to Victor Palaiologos, a wealth of material that only grew after his arrest got a little publicity and witnesses began coming forward.
They said his name was Victor Palaiologos, and I pulled over on the side of the road, and it was like white noise. It was unbelievable that this was the same guy.
For Christine Kloogian, an actress from Santa Monica, It was like a bad flashback. By 2003, it had been 14 years since she'd met Victor Paleologos, though he had told her his name was John Maroney, and asked her out on a date.
He said, "I'll pick you up in a limousine. We'll have dinner, and there's a big industry party," because he said that he was a music executive at Columbia Records.
Meet some famous people.
So forth and so on. I mean, he mentioned Madonna. He mentioned a couple of other people. So, well, that's fun. It's great. Why not?
He told her the party was to be in a downtown hotel, in a suite. She was 21. She trusted him just enough to go up there. There was no party. Just him.
He was trying to kiss me, and I pushed him away, and then he just attacked me. He grabbed me. He threw me on the bed. He tried to rip my clothes off, and in that moment, he pulled ropes from behind the bed.
He would have had to arrange those before.
Exactly, right.
Ropes already in place?
Did you tie her up?
No, nobody got tied up. There was no attack whatsoever.
Victor admitted he'd been there, taken her up to a suite, but had a very different story about what happened. For example, she showed the cops back then rope burns and bruises, said Victor.
She had a string purse on her. I picked up her purse and grabbed it. She wrapped it around the wrist. She was pulling back. We got into this tug-of-war type of issue. Her strap broke, and she went flying back over to Credenza. We had a present. We had a suite there.
Christine got away. Victor was arrested and charged with attempted rape. There was a hung jury, but rather than face a second trial, Victor pleaded guilty to a reduced charge, false imprisonment by violence.
Instead of spending another $30,000 to go back to trial on that, I took the plea for a false imprisonment and went on probation for 3 years.
It was his first run-in with the law, but by no means his last. 1991 was an actress named Elizabeth Davis. She says he told her his name was Joe Messi from Disney. Then he said something about a Bond movie, and he spiked her drink. She noticed a white powder and called the cops. No charges were ever filed. 1996, a SWAT team had to be called when Paleologos holed up in a mobile home in Malibu after he failed to show up in court on another charge.
He's coming out.
There was a woman he dated who said he broke into her house and attacked her with a rope. He made a deal, pleaded guilty to burglary, got probation. As for the SWAT team, he said it was all a big mistake. Along the way, Victor also got in trouble for ID theft and fraud. It was 1998 when, according to several women, he started refining his Bond girl scam, and one of the victims was so traumatized she wanted to remain anonymous.
And I just wanted to have a good time. That was the whole concept that night.
As Victor says, all he wanted was a date. Well, yes, he did tell her, he says, that he could get her into a Bond movie.
Like an idiot. That comes out in me sometimes is ridiculous.
She says he tied her up, tried to rape her, after she met him at his abandoned restaurant for an audition. Again, he took a plea deal, assault, and this time he went to prison for 5 years. But get this. Victor says it never happened. He swears none of them ever happened.
Okay, first and foremost, okay, let's clear up one thing. I never struggled with any woman or forced myself upon any woman whatsoever.
January 20th, 2003, Paleologos was released from prison. 26 days later, Christy Johnson disappeared.
It's a pretty big leap to go from sort of minor league fumbling attempts at sexual assault to actually killing somebody, isn't it?
It is. It is. But as we know, and we've seen, people escalate in their degree of violence.
And though there were no fingerprints, no DNA, no fibers, nothing to connect Victor Paleologos to Christy Johnson, he was charged with her murder. In the years since her daughter Christy Johnson took that awful chance with the man who came promising fame, Terry Hall lived in her own private house of horrors.
Pain doesn't get any less?
No, no. The pain is with me every day, every moment. It's almost like a wave that comes from behind me and just kind of crashes on me.
And while she wept and waited for the trial of Victor Palaiologos, Terry wondered how her Christy could have been taken in.
What was really striking to me was the fact that Christy was a very savvy, smart young woman. And for her to have been convinced to go to a situation such as this, I thought to myself, this must have been a very experienced predator.
And always the question, what happened?
I think I have enough information already to know that it was very horrifying. And that's one of the, you know, that's a great struggle, you know.
And so it went, as legal motions ground their long and slow journey, and Victor Palaiologos grew wan and pale from years in the men's central jail. The detective worked on the circumstantial case, and that was getting stronger by the day.
We had another woman call us on the tip line, and she said that she saw Mr. Palaiologos at the Century City Mall on February 15th. We also got a call from Mr. Paul Cady, who was a realtor, who had shown Mr. Palaiologos numerous houses, particularly one house on Skyline Drive, that was several hundred yards away from where her body was found.
Finally, July 13, 2006, it began. The prosecution brought in Susan Murphy, Kathy DeBono, and a few other women with less than savory encounters with Palaiologos in the past.
Anyone who's in the court will tell you, my voice, I was shaking. There was, you know, there's a jury right there, and then just looking at her family, that broke my heart. Broke my heart. And I kept thinking about, what if that was my dad sitting out there?
Christine Klugin, assaulted by Palaiologos way back in 1989, wasn't called to testify, but observed it all and was worried.
I was concerned that the jury was going to look at the circumstantial evidence and be swayed by that and not by his past history and his past actions. That was the most important thing for me in this case. It's not about a naive, trusting, young female. Thank God for naive, trusting young females in this world. It's about a repeat predator, offender.
The case depended on a pattern, an M.O. The evidence was circumstantial. Strong stuff. But Detective Omenchain admitted she was worried.
It just takes one juror to not be completely convinced, and we'd have to start the entire process over again.
And in a trial when you're dealing with a con man, how much of a worry is that?
There is a worry. He's a con man, and he's very, very good at it.
So the rest of the women got up on the stand and recounted the stories, much as you've already heard, of the apparently mild-mannered guy who offered to help make them famous, who dangled the possibility that they, like Lana Turner, might instantly find fame and glory in Hollywood, or at least an opening role, as a Bond girl.
And then, suddenly, 13 days into the trial, Victor sprang a surprise. After all those years of denial, all those years of blaming everybody else for all his troubles with the law, and after a parade of opening statements and witnesses, Victor simply stopped everything. He had decided to ask for a deal from the prosecution, had decided to plead guilty to the crime of murder.
In July 2006, Palaiologos appeared in open court before the judge and agreed that he and he alone had caused the death of Christy Johnson up on that rain-soaked hill in Hollywood. The deal? He would escape the death penalty, get 25 to life with the possibility of parole, but without the right to appeal.
All these months and years saying, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. In the middle of a trial, he suddenly says, I did it?
I was shocked.
Was it important to the family to hear him say, I killed your daughter?
It was. It was.
Did they get as much as they wanted in that respect?
No, I think they wanted to know why she had to die. I have a theory. I can't prove it. Only Victor knows if it's true, but I think he lured her up there for the purposes of raping her. He assaulted her. She fought back. He strangled her, went a little too far. She lost consciousness. He thought he had killed her, and he dumped her over the hill.
You think it's even possible she went down the side of that hill still alive?
According to the coroner, the head wound was perimortem, which is on the brink of death. So she may have still been alive.
It's pretty chilling when you think about it that way.
It is, and it's a completely callous act.
And we couldn't stop thinking about that interview long before the trial in which Victor Palaiologos danced around the issues, when he told us he'd never hurt Christie or anyone else for that matter.
Okay, first and foremost, okay, let's clear up one thing. I never struggled with any woman or forced myself upon any woman whatsoever.
Well, apparently, having pleaded guilty, he wasn't dancing now. Seemed like a good time to go back and see if we could get the real story. On September 15th, 2006, Victor Palaiologos, looking ashen, appeared in court to be sentenced for the murder of Christie Johnson. Having admitted he killed her, having pleaded guilty, he was finally going to take responsibility for what he did to that trusting young woman, whose mistake was believing he might just be the man to make her a star. But suddenly, there was a hitch in the proceedings.
The court this morning received a letter, it's very lengthy, from the defendant. It's 11 pages. I read the letter this morning, and I have read it again.
Victor had written a letter to the judge. 11 handwritten pages, crammed with misused words of many syllables, pleading for... Well, the judge seemed astonished.
In the letter, Mr. Palaiologos requests or makes a motion to withdraw his guilty plea.
Withdraw? Victor had changed his mind about pleading guilty.
I'm going to deny the motion, Mr. Palaiologos. The law states very clearly a plea may not be withdrawn simply because the defendant has changed his mind.
My name is Kirk Johnson. I'm Christie's father.
And then he listened as her family spoke about the loss and the hurt.
The reason that we're here is because of Mr. Palaiologos. And there is a reason why this happened. Only God knows. And I can't find an answer for that.
Victor Palaiologos has been allowed the freedom to let the evil in his life escalate, resulting in the heinous murder of Christie, my beloved young daughter, a beautiful young woman on the threshold of her life.
And so it was a sullen and obviously miserable Victor Palaiologos who listened to the judge pronounce his fate.
For the willful, deliberate, and premeditated first-degree murder of Christine Johnson, the court sentences the defendant to serve 25 years to life in the state penitentiary.
25 to life. This is how the predator was brought to justice. After so many women, so many accusations, and so many plea deals for so little prison time. In Christine Kloogian's case, no jail time at all.
One had to die for us to pay attention. One had to die for us to look at a situation and say, wait a minute, what is going on with our laws in this country that put repeat offenders who are not rehabilitatable out on the street again and again and again.
3 days after sentencing, we met once again at the Men's Central Jail. One more try to get inside the mind of this predator.
Are you ready now to talk more candidly about what happened?
Well, I've never had an issue about talking about any piece of the case. Hindsight right now, almost immediately, gave me the remorse of ever signing or ever agreeing to the plea.
There it was. For Victor Paleologos, remorse was not about killing Christy. It was only for taking a deal and admitting he did it.
You took responsibility for Christie's death.
I had to. In order to get the plea. Look, unless you're actually in that situation, unless you're actually faced with the same consequences and the same pressure and the same mental mind-bending that you're going through, that you may have just made the same choices I made that day. And
fairly confident I wouldn't confess to killing somebody if I hadn't actually killed them.
Well, I think you can say that with all sincerity today. I don't think you would say that in the situation that if you were being bent over the barrel for 3.5 years.
You know, it's funny. You always make plea deals, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Victor gave us lots of reasons he took the plea this time. Unbelievably, one of them, he said, was money.
I only agreed to the plea based on the fact that when you consider the ruinous cost of even a successful defense, I was going to end up in the same position anyway.
Seem odd that a man in prison for life would be worried about his own personal financial circumstances? Well, get this. He wasn't even paying his legal bills. Taxpayers had been doing that. But hard as it is to believe, that is only one of several dog ate my homework excuses for his decision to plead guilty to murdering an innocent young woman.
His lawyer, he told us, would have lost a prepaid vacation had he continued the trial. He really was going to win, he said. The real victim here, he said, is himself.
This whole issue has been really about what someone else can say about Victor, what someone else can bring up on dirty laundry about Victor.
Round and round for more than an hour went Victor, but avoiding one topic. What really happened to Christy Johnson?
We all know you did it. And I think
what
the whole point is
that have?
Finally... No, let me finish. Finally, somebody wants you to stand up like a man. But the fact is, we know you did it. So this is all a dance that's kind of silly, don't you think?
No, I don't think. No.
It was the day after Valentine's, 2003, when Christine Johnson thought she'd met the man who'd discovered her. Just like somebody discovered Lana Turner all those years ago. How could she know it was Victor Paleologos, and that her story would end like the Black Dahlia?
When what you want so badly is written on your sleeve, predators of any kind are going to use that as the bait. They're going to tell you they have it to give.
I mean, I felt like... close to her, I felt, oh my gosh, what if I had done, what if... And she didn't make a mistake. She didn't do anything wrong.
Sometimes it's hard to spot the bad ones. He'd been honing his scheme for years. She didn't stand a chance. And now, the day Victor Paleologos has been waiting for is finally coming. On November 7th, 2023, he will go before the parole board to ask for his freedom. Christie's mother, Kathy DeBono, Christine Kloogian, Susan Murphy, and all the women whose lives were diminished by their encounters with him are afraid for themselves and for the next young woman they imagine he will meet.